Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We all need motivation from time to time. Motivation to do what is expected of us. Motivation to do what is right. Motivation to follow out our Christian discipleship and to pray and to read God's word and to be in communion with God and in communion and fellowship with the body of Christ. Sometimes we need motivation to do that. And so Paul sort of pulls out the big guns here and delivers this message of motivation, I guess you would say. And he basically says, if you care anything about me, if you love me, then you'll do these things. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I sort of, when someone tries to pull that and say, if you love me, if you really love me, then you'll do this, I'm sort of like taking two steps back or something. I find that to be a little bit unfair tactic going on, because it's like, the only way you can prove to me that you love me is to do exactly what I want you to do. So, yeah, well, okay, that's well, fine, and good. But here Paul is saying to them, this can be your motivation. And I think Paul understood through the power of the Holy Spirit that these words would be spoken to us this day as well. And that we revere Paul, and we know that he was called to be an apostle, and he was called to write God's inspired word, which still affects our lives today. So when we hear Paul saying, if you care anything about me, if you think highly of me, if you love me, then obey these words, then it still carries a lot of weight, even though we didn't personally know him. It still carries a lot of weight in how we live out our Christianity. We read these words and we say, this is important that I do these things. And so we hear what he's saying. He says, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Okay. I have some trouble with that, because I have trouble being of one mind with myself. I don't know if you feel the same way, but sometimes I'm in a great argument with myself, and part of me hates the other part, and, you know, all this stuff going on. It's like drama in my head or something. But anyway, so when he says, be of one mind, be of accord, having the same love, he's talking about the body of Christ. He's saying we should be of one mind together, and that we should be in unity and harmony, perfect harmony with one another. Whoa. Well, if I'm having warfare in my head from time to time, I can't imagine. But it is the goal of the church. It is indeed the goal of the body of Christ. The church knows, the church universal knows that we are in disharmony. There are many, many different parts. And sometimes the different parts tend to argue with one another and look down upon one another and say, you've got it wrong, and all this sort of stuff. So we don't have this one mind that Paul is saying, but it is a goal. It is a goal of the body of Christ that we all be one. Now, how that's defined is quite interesting. It probably won't be until kingdom come, but at the same time, it is what we realize, that we need to be of one mind together as the body of Christ, no matter what different denomination, no matter how we are split up as the body of Christ. We need to be of one mind. We need to work together because we are all, in our own way, building the kingdom of God. And so I see that, understand that, and I hear Paul saying, this is what is pleasing. But at the same time, even though we're motivated to do it, it is extraordinarily difficult, extraordinarily hard. Well, that's okay. He keeps going with his list. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Okay, got that? You can check that off the list, to-do list. I will do nothing out of ambition or conceit. Whoa. And then in humility I regard everyone else is better than myself. Whoa. So the list gets a little harder. We're supposed to be of one mind together, one mind as the body of Christ and through all things, of the same mind as Christ in everything. And then we're never to let ambition or conceit come in and rob us of where we are in the world, and that we should view others as better than ourselves. You know, I'm sorry, I have trouble with the idea that if everybody views everybody else as better than themselves, then it gets complicated. But I understand the sentiment and understand exactly what humility is all about. And I see that even though you would say, that's impossible, that it's still a goal of Christian living. Because we know people who are humble in spirit. And we know how welcoming that is to us. We know that they're not looking down their nose at us. They're not saying, well, you're not quite good enough. You don't quite measure up. We know what that feels like to be in their presence as they not only welcome, but also honor you. And so we see how that is an important Christian trait, the trait of humility, the trait of putting others in front of ourselves. How very valuable that is as well. He continues on with the list. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. The interest of others in place of our own interest. Okay, then you go, what about self-preservation and what about providing for yourself? Because if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to take care of you? And all these other things, all these other thoughts come bouncing in on that. But at the same time, if we're talking about Christian goals, ambitions for a motivation for where we should be as Christians, we can understand that other people's interest, best interests, come before our best interest. Not that I think God ever would require us to be a doormat, but at the same time, that Christ wants to make sure, Paul wants to make sure that we have this mind of Christ, this understanding, this general way of following Christ that says others, we're there for others, not necessarily just for ourselves, not for ourselves first and then the crumbs to others, not that understanding. And then if we don't think this list is too complicated, he throws in this one, just sort of simple one. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Okay, alrighty, I can do that. The same mind that is in Christ, fully God, fully human, Christ who was with God in the beginning of all things, Christ who, through Christ, all things were created, time, light, everything, creation itself, whether you call it the Big Bang or whatever you call it, God in the midst of all that, Christ right there. God, always powerful, always present, all-knowing God. And he says, be of the same mind as Christ. We go, huh? But then you begin to understand, as he says, that he emptied himself in verse 7. In verse 8, he said he humbled himself and he became obedient. We begin to understand where Paul's going with this. That if we're going to be of the same mind as Christ, the same mindset as Christ, then we empty ourselves of ourselves. We humble ourselves. We become obedient to God. The self is not the most primary thing in our lives, but obedience to God. What lofty goals, what wonderful ambitions are there for us. We see these words, we hear these words, and we realize, yes, that is how we should live. Yes, that is our goal as Christians. That is our goal as the body of Christ. This is exactly where we want to go. And then he continues on with this very strong motivation, saying to them, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but also in my absence. So he's saying, you've always done what I've said to do because you think so much of me and you love me. He says, therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you go, huh? Work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? But then you put that in relation to what he's saying over here. He's saying we have these goals. We have this set up before us. To be a Christian is not just to sit back idly and say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but it is always to be open to the guide and the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit working within our lives, realizing that we are working toward those goals each and every day. That no matter how old we are, no matter where we are in life, that we are indeed working toward that because God is at work in us. But we also realize what he's saying is very true. That if we're trying to work out our own salvation, if we're trying to work out our own salvation by following these rules, which really aren't rules, they're just aspirations for what we can do, by following these rules or any other rules, if we think that our salvation is based on how we behave here and now, then go ahead, but realize you need to do that in fear and trembling. Because if you think that you can save yourself, if I think that I can save myself, then I should be in fear and trembling. We're only saved by God through God's grace, and God's grace is a gift given to us. We're only saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and faith in Jesus Christ is a gift given to us as well. So if we're working out our own salvation, then we need to be in fear and trembling. We need to be in fear and trembling every moment of every day because salvation is not something we can accomplish. This list that Paul gives to us and the motivation that he says, this is why I want you to do this. We cannot do this on our own. What God is calling upon us to do is to be open to God's grace this day and every day, to be open to how God wants us to grow. God never gives up on anyone. God never gives up on us. If we fall on our face and do something terrible and we've hurt other people, God's right there with us. And God is saying, yes, I know. This is where you are, but this is not where you have to stay because we have these dreams, we have these goals, we have this understanding of what it is to live as Christians in the world. It's not the basis of our salvation, but it's the basis of being a Christian in the world, bearing the name of Christ into the world each and every day. And so we're open and aware of what God is calling upon us to do, the growth that God wants us to accomplish. The ways in which God always annoys us, right when we think, I've got this figured out, God says, not quite so fast. Because there's always growth that shows God's endless, changeless love for us. That when we think we have things figured out, God says, but look. Look at these other things that are there. Look at all the possibilities of Christian living. We don't have to have fear and trembling over our own failures, because we know indeed that God is still at work within our lives so that we can be at work in the world. Let us pray.